Hello, welcome to the Shehu Oshibeso podcast. Shehu Oshibeso is a lead pastor, Grace Made Christian Center, where we raise change agents. We do hope you'll be refreshed by God's word today. Happy listening.
Glory to God. All right, let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. From verse 10 to 17. Glory to God. Let me look to your neighbor to the left and to the right and ask them, neighbor, how was your week? Say, neighbor, good to have you in church. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 6 this morning from verse 10 to 17. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 17. Praise God. Ephesians 6 from 10 to 17. Are you ready? 1, 2, ready, read. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the might. Okay, let's have the New King James Version. The New King James Version. All right. 1, 2, ready, read. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having guarded your ways with truth, having put on the breastplate. Okay, let's start from verse 14 again. Stand therefore, having guarded your ways with what? Having put on what? Verse 15. And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah. Next. Above all, taking. What does above all mean? Most importantly, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts or arrows of the wicked one. Verse 17, the last verse. Let's read loud and clear. One, two, go. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Lord, we ask that you bless your word. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, so last week we began our study about the believer's authority. And the first Sunday, we spoke about the fact that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we said we are seated at the right hand of God. And the right hand of God, we said, is the center of power, the center of authority. So we made reference to the fact that, you know, if they call somebody the right hand person of someone, it means that that person is like the assistant or the most powerful after that person. So if we are seated at the right hand of God, it means that after God, it's us. Somebody say amen to that. Glory to God. And last Sunday, we talked about the fact that we have the power in the name of Jesus. We spoke about how that we have the power of attorney, which is the right to use the name of Jesus. So as believers, we have the power, we have the authority, we have exousia. You remember that? We have exousia. We have delegated power to use the name of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Today we'll be talking about our spiritual armor as referenced in the portion of scriptures that we read, Ephesians chapter 6 from 10 to 17. And I'm going to use for a title, Dressed for Battle. Dressed for Battle. Praise God. Before we proceed, I want to make a few clarifications about the Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So in the realm of the spirit, There are levels, there are hierarchies of spiritual powers. There are levels, there are ranks in the realm of the spirit where spiritual power, where demonic activity is concerned. You know, sometimes in church, when we hear principality, we think that, oh, these are the most powerful ones. You know, principalities. But in the order or in the structure of demonic power, principality is the lowest rank. Principality, you know why I'm saying this as we proceed. Principality is the lowest rank. So in this lowest rank is where we have witches. So witches are lowest rank when it comes to demonic operations. So if they say somebody is possessed, it means that they are in this realm. Praise God. You have somebody at work, maybe who is, you know, I mean, have you seen people who you can tell that this one is not ordinary? Like people act in a certain way and you know that it is not ordinary. Have you seen anybody like that before? You know that there has to be a demonic explanation for what is going on here. I'll give you an example. There was a guy, you know, I was driving somewhere and then, you know, the guy, I was at the back of this particular guy who was also driving. Then because that guy overtook one other guy, the guy ran and then out of anger brushed his side mirror and removed it. That is not ordinary. It's a demonic expression. How many of you here, you've had to tell people that, are you possessed? Because you are looking at what they are doing and you are wondering, this is not normal. And you see, we need to understand that we have expressions of demonic activities. We have what we call oppression. We have what we call obsession. And we have what is called possession. So a child of God, a believer, can be influenced by the devil in any of these three dimensions. Glory to God. A believer can be oppressed by the devil. You know, there are people who find themselves doing things that they don't want to do. Like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't end up doing them. The things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. So they are under the oppression of the enemy. There are people who have anger problem that has a spiritual and a demonic undertone. Do you agree with that? Somebody gets angry. I mean, I was counseling somebody and then he was telling me about the wife, you know, that when she gets angry, you know, she carries the TV and then breaks the TV. She begins to break things in the house. That is not ordinary. That has a spiritual undertone. So a believer, a child of God, can be oppressed by the devil when they open up their mind and the devil penetrates into them through their mind. So sometimes, as a believer, you can act under an influence without even knowing. And that's why it's so important that you have to take authority over the devil in your mind. There are people who have addictions. It started off as just normal addictions and then it became an oppression. So the devil is oppressing them. And he does this through the instrumentality of their minds. Glory to God. The other one is what they call obsession. So obsession means that the devil has literally taken you over. So in this, you know, obsession, you do things more like you're possessed or you're oppressed. But the highest level is when the demonic spirit is inhabiting in that building. That is possession. So you read in the Bible, it says something like, the guy was possessed by a demon. Possessed by... I remember when we were pastoring on campus, there is, you know, a young man, you know, anytime a lady walks into his room, a pastor attempts to rape that woman or that lady. What do you call that? You are funny with the category now. What do you call that? What do you call that? But you know that even if you cannot place it, you know that it is not ordinary. So there are things that we do in our lives. And that's why it's so important that we learn to take authority over the devil in our lives. For some people, they have a demonic influence of malice. It's a demonic activity. They are being oppressed by that spirit. They make boasts. Some people, it's just wickedness. They are wicked. It's a demonic expression. Are you in church this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Number two level of spiritual powers or spiritual hierarchy is powers. Powers. I want to say powers. Powers. So when you hear things like, I have powers, know what the person is talking about. On a more serious note, so I have powers. I have Abido Shaker. I have different powers. I have this. I have that. I have whatever. Powers. Are you in church this morning? Come on, somebody. They are dominated by and receive their instructions from the rulers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Do you know that there are three heavens? Now, I'm teaching this morning, so it may not excite you. But if you listen, you need to write. Praise God, you need to write. Amen. Let's skip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4. Says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. What does that mean? If there's a third heaven, it means there is a first or second heaven. Do you agree with that? That's logic. Verse 3. Is, and I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Verse 4. How he was caught up into paradise. Into paradise. And heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So, there are three heavens. I'm going somewhere. There are three. Let me just lay this foundation. There are three heavens. The first heaven is the atmospheric heavens. After what we see after, you know, what you see, the air. Ephesians 2:2. Go to Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. Ephesians 2:2. It says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience. So the first heaven is the atmospheric heavens. And the second heaven is what we call the stellar heavens. So when the Bible says that he was caught up into the heavens, he was talking about the stellar heavens, or what you refer to as the heavenlies or the high places. Glory to God. Ephesians 6:12. Amen. The third heaven is the heaven that Paul was caught up into. And he says that that is the realm of paradise. That's where God's throne is. So at this point, no demon can operate at that level. Glory be to God. Say, glory be to God. So we have powers. So there are forces of darkness that operate. And why is this so important? Because sometimes we have battles in our lives that are not just ordinary battles. They are battles against some dimensions of some spiritual powers. Glory to God. Number three is the rulers of darkness. These are the highest class of demons that we deal with here on earth. So as far as the earth is concerned, the highest level, the highest rank of demons are the rulers of darkness. If you read Daniel chapter 10 from 12 to 13, you see that Daniel said, from the day God was speaking, he said, from the day you prayed, I heard your prayers. But he says, the prince of Persia withstood me. So we have this dimension where things happen in our lives, and we know that this has to be a spiritual undertone. Anybody like that, you've experienced that before. You know that this is not ordinary. Glory to God. The last one is what we refer to as the wicked spirits, or the spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, or what you call wicked spirits. Wicked spirits in the realm of the spirit. This is the highest class, and it exists in the heavenlies, not on the earth. So we need to understand when things are happening in our lives to know how to take authority over these things. And know that sometimes we need to come into a place and enforce our authority in Christ. And that's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles, the strategies, the methods, or the methodologies of the devil. Because the devil will not always come as a devil. He's referred to as a snake, as a serpent. So you must understand, as a child of God, how to navigate your journey here on earth, to know that you need to have the whole armor of God. If as believers, we take advantage of our spiritual armor that God has given to us, the enemy cannot defeat us. We must always live our lives dressed for battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we are not just here, you know, sometimes a lot of believers are naive. You don't know that there are people that call on God. In the place where you walk, there are people that before they come to walk, they drink something. Or, how many of you here, your parents have told you something and they gave you something and they said, this water, I got it from somewhere. Drink. Anybody like that? Don't be shy. My hand is up. Back then, say, oh, this water, you know, this soap, you bathe with this soap. You know, I got it from one man, one pastor, Woli. I said, you pray that promotion is coming. So you bathe with this soap in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the night. Before you know it, you become a ritualist. Before you know it. So sometimes there are things that, because our parents understand that there is a spiritual undertone to everything happening around. Or you get married, you are not having a child on time. They tell you that, we have to do something about it. They will say things like, oh, deka jadesi. Jadesi means that let us go out and find out what is going on. Say deka teselebo, like let us put the leg of the house in this matter. And there are really things that happen in our lives that we have to teselebo in real life and seek the face of God to ask the Lord, God, what will you have me do?
Because some things are not just normal. You cannot have a job and be earning the same salary for 5 years. It's not normal. It's not normal. You cannot be of marriageable age. And then you are nearing 40, you are nearing 45, and you are not married. It's not every time that nothing is wrong. Sometimes there is something wrong. Because sometimes, as believers, we are just too casual about life. That's why he says that, see, understand, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not ordinary. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that wants to exalt itself above the knowledge of the power of God, and bringing down into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Understand that. That life is not just as it is. You are in business. You need to understand that you are in constant battle. You are in career. You understand that you are in constant battle. This life is not ordinary. It's spiritual. Glory to God. And you must treat life as such, that nothing just happens. Your family, you know, have been broke. You are trying to break that jinx. You are trying to break that cycle. And you think that it's going to happen just by, you know, you doing big boy and all of that. It has to take some real battles, some real intercession. I say, Lord, something just has to give. Things wouldn't be like this. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Look at your life. What is that thing that you know that this, I have to, there's a label. I have to just, this is not ordinary. He says he satisfies us early. I believe that delay is not of God. In childbearing, in promotion, in increase, in enlargement, in expansion, in business breakthrough, in career breakthrough, I believe that delay is not of God. Say, satisfy us early. So we have powers. We have spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. Glory to God. The different parts of a hammer symbolizes spiritual truths, which belongs to the believer. So at every time in our lives, we must be ready for war. I think there's a song like that, you can't sing. I can't remember the song. You must always live ready. Be ready for battle. And know that from the time of John the Baptist until now, I love that. From the time of John the Baptist until now, so the modus operandi has not changed. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence will take it by force. There are some things that your 30 minutes prayer cannot solve. There are some things that your current tongues cannot solve. Your current tongues, I'm talking about your spiritual language, that you need to speak with some dangerous tongues. You know, there are capital tongues. There are some tongues that when the devil hears. Have you ever heard Bishop Edekpo's tongue before? Rekoseko! Rekoseko! There are tongues. You know, Red or Stillody, Reverend Nish, Elevin, Shinnik, Neck, Hugs, Tala. Well, how be it, speaketh mysteries? I'm just saying. No matter what you're saying, the Bible says that how be it, is speaketh mysteries. Understand what I'm talking about. So I don't know that person is saying heresy that should I go and change my tongues? No. I'm saying that there are some dimensions that you say, I will not let you go until you bless me. I'm tired of this level. How many of you here, you got tired at some certain things in your life and you took some actions and then you saw a change? Anybody like that? You saw a change. All the while, God was waiting for you. Where is the God of Elijah? God is saying, where are the Elijahs of God? God is always waiting for us to do something about it. To take extended time praying. I say this any day, anytime. If you're a believer and you don't fast at least once a week, you are not a serious believer. That is when they say there is fast, that's when you become hungry. That you've been going well without food. The moment, shouldn't you know that there is something going on? Shouldn't you know that you were okay? You could go without food for 3 days. And that was, ladies, a lot. They can go without food. Because I believe that naturally, a man's problem will push him to God. Naturally, I believe so. Or should. That is when they say that, or you've been reading novel. The moment you carry your Bible, that's when you doze off. You should know that there is something about that Bible that the devil doesn't want you to take advantage of. So the first one, it says, and what? Take the hammer of God, that you may be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And it says, take the girdle of truth. You see the girdle here? The girdle of truth. Yeah. So you have to let your dressing be complete for this thing to work. For you to exercise your authority over the devil, over the demons and his courts. The girdle of truth. This represents your authority in the place of the word. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Compare your beliefs and actions to the truth of the word of God. The word of God is the final authority over the devil. You know, when the devil came, or when Satan came to tempt Jesus and said to him, you know, it is written, and all of that, you know, if you try to jump, I'll carry you and all of that. And he showed him the moments of this world and all of that. I'll give it to you once you bow. Jesus said to him, it is written. It is written. The question is, what is written about that situation you are going through right now? You have to find out what is written. I had the story of somebody who had a dream. And then in that dream, the devil just like snatched a womb. And the devil was running, you know, away with the womb. And then she just said, the Bible says. And the moment she said, the Bible says, the devil stopped and turned back. And was trying to, you know, what was she going to say? The Bible says. The Bible says. The devil was waiting. The Bible says. The Bible says. The devil was waiting. And when the devil saw that this one does not know what the Bible says, he just went with the womb. Sometimes things happen in your life And then the devil is waiting on you to say, the Bible says he's waiting. Your finance is going down. The Bible says he's waiting. Because that is the authority you have over him. The authority we have is in the word. In fact, the Bible tells us that God regards his word more than his name. Glory to God. So the word actually is more powerful than the name. As simple as that. You know, we spoke about the name of Jesus. But the word of God in your mouth is powerful. That's why it says his word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, divided into the asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of men. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick. Show me that scripture. It's quick and powerful. So if you want instant results, get the word. The word of God is quick. I love some verses. It says, the word of God is alive. The word of God is alive. It's living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing into even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It will pierce it, divide. That's what God's word does. Can we have the NIV? NIV. Oh, glory to God. For the word of God is living and what? Active. Active. You know, I opened an account with Union Bank, and I have not run the account for some months, and it said your account is what? Dormant. But the word of God is not dormant. The word of God is dominant. Thank you. It's not dormant, it's dominant. You can enforce. You can superimpose. You can bully your circumstances with the word of God. I don't care what that situation is. Can you get like 5 or 6 scriptures? Mix it. You know that all those babalawos, all those abalists, when you go and see them, they will say, oh yeah, bring Agbo, bring this. Then they will mix it and say, oh yeah, Bemu, drink it. The same thing. By the time you pick from New Testament, you pick Psalms, you bring Proverbs, you go to Revelation, you pick it, you go to Genesis, you pick something, you mix it, you declare it. Come on, somebody. The word of God is active. 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 I remember many years ago, I took confessions on prosperity. I began to declare it. I began to declare it. I will wake up every day and say, I cannot be poor. Lack is far from me. The Bible says, I say, no, all the scriptures, Psalm 34, verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack anything good. The Bible says, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor is it beg for bread. I say, my God supplies, Philippians 4:13. All my needs are according to Jesus in glory. I pick that scripture and I conjure the scripture, I mix it. Because God's word is alive. It's alive and powerful. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Shout, the word of God is alive. You're battling with barrenness. Can you get like 7 scriptures and mix it together? And mix those scriptures together. I said, no way, glory to God. Or you've been struggling with promotion in your career. Gather those scriptures and mix it. Make a word concoction. Mix it together. I'm telling you, it works. It works wonders. The word of God works wonders. It works wonders. Remember, we're going to trust God for a car. Carried scriptures and began to declare it. I said, whatsoever things are good, I've others report. Think of these things, Philippians 4:8. God's scriptures about God. It says that God wants us. 1 Timothy 6:17. God's scriptures. How that God wants us to get the best in life. How that God wants us to wear the best, to drive the best, to do well. God, those scriptures, and began to declare them. The word of God is quick and powerful. When you speak the word, it's like God himself is speaking his word. So you can enforce your authority. You know, Jesus, as Son of God as he was, he didn't argue. Because he knew the power in that word. There is nothing that God's word cannot cure. There is nothing that God's word cannot solve. There is nothing that God's word cannot take care of. You're single, trusting God to get married. Get scriptures. It says he set the solitary in families. Get those scriptures. Mix it. Confess it to yourself. As he says, none will lack their mates. Those are the kind of research you should be making. Married. You are the one that need it. Amen. So get those scriptures and declare it. Says 2 are better than 1. That itself is a scripture. 2 are better than 1. Because they have a good for their reward. 1 will chase 1,000. 2 will chase 10,000. You call those scriptures. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is anointed in and of itself. That's why Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They carry life. They carry Zohe, the God kind of life. Glory to God. Say glory to God. So be like that herbalist. Get those scriptures. Have a journal where you store scriptures. Glory to God. I remember my spiritual grandfather, Reverend George, told us how he used to read the Bible. And he said that, you know, he would just write the scripture, maybe Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my needs. And he would write it down and meditate on it for days, sometimes weeks, sometimes months. And when it gets to a point, he would just cancel it. He said, Otiwole, it has entered. So can you have some scriptures and meditate on them until it enters? Says it is the entrance of his word that giveth light. Not just the hearing. The hearing produces faith. So faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word. The hearing of the word produces faith, but it is the entrance of the word of God that gives light and gives understanding to the foolish, to the simple. So when a man has the word of God, he looks wiser than he really is. So that was why when they saw him, they said, these guys are unlearned and ordinary men. The only thing they could say was that these guys must have been with Jesus, because the results they are producing is not the kind of results that those who are not schooled should produce. The word of God will make you wiser than you really are. Somebody say amen to that. The word of God makes all the difference. Show me that scripture. The entrance of his word giveth light. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, glory to God. He said, your word have I found. I did eat them like meat. It was the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I'm called by your name. There's power in the word. Glory to God. Say glory to God. The word of God gives light. Gives light. Sometimes all you need is light. It's not everything that you fight the devil about. Sometimes all you need is just light. There was a couple that was trusting God for it. Just spoke to them. Yes. And then our spiritual grandma told the story. I said, God just spoke to them to relocate out of Nigeria. And they relocated. In 1 year, they had their own child. And they moved back to Nigeria. Because I believe that demonic forces, they don't fly airplane. I believe so. I believe they can't afford it. I believe so. Even with airpies. Sometimes all you need is light. Leave that job. Can you structure your business like this? Can you just reorder your finance? Can you stop or control the way you give? Because God had to say that to me. That way you are giving people, you know, dashing, you know, say you are going to end up in poverty. So I said, oh wow. Because sometimes we mean well. We mean well, but we are sincerely foolish, sincerely wrong. God's word gives light. I want to show you that scripture. It says, your words have I found. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I love the man of Galilee, for he has done so very much for me. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you. Jeremiah 15, verse 6. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. You can hate the word. I hate them. And your word was to me the joy and the rejoicing. God's word should excite you. Says, I rejoice at your word like one who has found a great spoil. I'm excited at your word. I love the word. Glory to God. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. Says, the Spirit entered me when he spake to me. The Spirit entered me when he spoke to me. And what happened? He set me on my feet. When God's word enters into your heart, he sets you on your feet. It rejuvenates you. It ignites your passion. He says, I have said I will not call on his name, but his words was in me like fire shot up in my bones. So I said, I will not call on his name. I will not make mention of his name and all of that. Said, but his word was in me. His word was in me like fire shot up within my bones. It says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Richly. Colossians 3:15. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. Show me. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Glory to God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. In all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. The one says, he says, singing and making melody in your heart. Making melody in your heart. Glory to God. Whoo, glory to God. Let the word of God dwell in you richly, not poorly, richly. So when the devil asks you, the Bible says, you are not looking for what the Bible says. You must get the word. You must receive the word with meekness. Glory to God. Say glory to God. Number two, next slide. Number two, next slide. So we've spoken about the breastplate of righteousness. You see that? All of these are offensive. They are defensive. Defensive. The breastplate. So righteousness in itself is a breastplate. It shields you. You know, this looks like bulletproof. So you are able to withstand the fiery darts, to understand that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:17. Much more, they which have received abundance of grace and the gift of what? Righteousness shall reign in this life, even as by one Jesus. So one of your armor as a child of God is that breastplate of righteousness, having that understanding. So it says, when you understand, it says you reign in life. You reign in life. Oh, glory to God. You are not defeated. There's no defeat for a child of God. He always makes provision for all things to work together for good. We know that all things work together for good. For those who love God. For those who are the called according to his purpose. The breastplate of righteousness. You're righteous. Some say with me, say, I'm righteous. I can't hear you say with me, say, I'm righteous. Glory to God. Next slide. The breastplate of righteousness. The gospel of peace. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see, one of the things or the provisions that God has made for you is that you preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel, it brings you into a place of confidence in God. That's why the Bible says there is joy in heaven over a soul that gets born again. So this is your assurance. In other words, when you are mindful or when you are doing God's business, God will also look into your own business. It's a guarantee of your security in Christ. How many of you here, somebody who really is concerned about your business, would you want to let them go? No. 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 Next. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. with which you'll be able to quench the works. So faith is a shield. The shield of faith. You know, this is not the breastplate. Right? Are you with me this morning? It's a shield. So, please come, Dr. Jerry. So, please stand there. So if I'm here, please stand up. So if I'm here, what am I doing? I'm making him what? My shield. Right? So the same way, faith is a shield. So if you are not holding faith, it means you don't have cover. So your faith is your shield from the fiery darts. Now go to that Ephesians. It says, and the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench the fiery darts. Now darts, you know, are arrows. Arrows. So sometimes the devil will throw arrows at you. Throw arrows at your business. Throw arrows at your ministry. Throw arrows at your marriage. Throw arrows at your mind. You need to have the shield of faith. Faith is a shield. Imagine a believer without that shield. No defense. You will become a prey to the enemy. I pray for you that may you not lack defense. I said, may you not lack defense in the name of Jesus Christ. I said, may you not lack defense in the name of Jesus. Let your amen show that you understand the prayers. I said, may you not lack defense in the name of Jesus. When the devil throws the fiery darts at you, the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Thank you. Ask your neighbor, do you have a shield? Do you have shield? The shield of faith. It guards you. It protects you. Glory to God. Next. And how does faith come? You see that? Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And what? Hearing again the word of God. So, the beginning of your authority starts from hearing. The man at Lystra, Acts chapter 16, the Bible says that was all he needed. He needed to hear. The Bible says as he was hearing, faith built up. Faith arose in his heart. As I'm teaching right now, faith is arising in somebody's heart. You are knowing what you... Wow, you mean I've been suffering all this while? Yes, you've been suffering. But it's never too late for you to exercise your authority in Christ. So you can go back home. The things that the devil has harassed you on, you go back to him and say, devil, take your hands off my stuff. Take your hands off my marriage. Take your hands off my finance. Take your hands off my emotions. Let the weak say, I am strong. Glory to God. The helmet of salvation. Glory to God. Your salvation is your helmet. It shields your head. Glory to God. I'm into real estate and all of that. And I mean, my brothers, colleagues, Taiwo, Steve, all of them. You cannot go to site and not wear your helmet. A site where something is going on, where there is real construction, is a requirement. So in this life also, things are going on. You cannot be without your helmet. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Your salvation, that you got born again, you have a spiritual helmet. In the realm of the spirit, you are wearing your helmet. In the realm of the spirit, the picture I showed is how you are. That is how you are dressed in the realm of the spirits. Glory to God. The helmet of salvation. So your salvation is a guarantee that nothing can come here. Imagine that Goliath had a helmet. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. Glory to God. Next one. The sword of the Spirit. Ah. We are not ordinary. In the hammer, this is the only offensive tool. It's offensive. The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. The sword of the Spirit. Glory to God. I mean, there's a church called the Sword of the Spirit Ministries. What a name. I love that. Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God is a sword. So when David was cutting the head of Goliath with a sword, the spiritual implication is that he was using the word of God to cut off. Is with that sword, you will cut off even the excesses in your own life. So when they say things like WWJD, what would Jesus do? So the question is, what would Jesus do? Right? The Bible says flee sexual immorality. Is the sword of the Spirit. So that you will not carry belly, you use that sword. When the Bible says that you give your 10%, okay, it's so that you will not end up in penury or something that looks like it. The sword of the Spirit is offensive. It's offensive. You can address circumstances with that sword. You can use that sword to cut off the head of the enemy. Everything that the enemy throws against you, with the sword, you can... Imagine like that you have a sword in your hand and you think that you are defeated. You probably don't know what you have. If not for some things, I would have dressed this way to preach this morning. Like, that's what I would have dressed, so that you can understand what I'm talking about. I can do that next year. Amen. That's where I would dress. I will bring sword, real sword. Where did I see this? I think there was a pastor. I can't remember what happened. A church, the pastor was preaching about something and brought something. I can't remember. Was he a gun? I think it was a gun. He was trying to... I think he got arrested or something. I can't remember what happened. Did anybody see that? What was he talking about? Explanation. But I'm not sure they were doing it to me with sword. So imagine that you have a sword in your hand. Picture yourself right now in the realm of the Spirit with a sword. Does anyone who have a sword... Is he intimidated? You have a sword. No. You got something to defend yourself. I guess the reason you are afraid is because you don't know that you have a sword. Oh God. I have said ye are gods. And all of you are children of the Most High. He says if you're not aware, they will walk. Ah, yeah, yeah, yeah. They will walk like mere men and die like one of the princes. Can you me get that? I have said that ye are gods And all of you are children of the Most High. Psalm 82, verse 5, right? Let me just wrap up there. I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Verse 8. Arise, O God, judge the head, for you shall... Do you have other translations of the Bible? Like a Message? Do you have it now? Or you have the NIV? It says, I said you are gods, since you judge on my behalf as my representatives. Indeed, all of you are children of the Most High. So we say, I have the sword of the Spirit. I have the sword of the Spirit. Which is what? The word of God. Which is the word of God. Does that mean to anybody? Say, neighbor, use your sword. What are you going to use your sword for when you get home today? Do you know who you are right now? Are you dressed for battle right now? Atimura Ogun. We are ready to take over what the enemy took away from us. Glory to God. I want to give you 2 minutes. Please stand to your feet. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. To declare and see yourself the way God sees you, in that armor. 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 Woo, glory to God. In that armor. Thank you, Jesus. In that armor. In that armor. In that armor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Use your authority. Use your authority. Use your authority. Be conscious of what you carry. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, 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 yes. Woo, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Shetele veketele veketele vosistoli gada bahaya. Imana manakosos tuvele gada gada gada. Thank you, Jesus. Mas tilivrenia no 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 kosidola bahaya. Oh, that anointing here. Okay, lede do sistele vede. Now you know, now you know, now you know. Now you know where you stand. Now you know. Now you know. Now you know. Lift your two hands to heaven and say, Lord, I receive the fullness of all that you have for me in this season, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All is bowed, all is closed. You need to have the helmet of salvation. If you're here this morning, you want to give your heart to Christ. You don't have that. You are here to give your life because you don't have that helmet yet. Can you raise your right hand high above your head? Let me pray with you this morning. You want to give your heart to Christ. Raise your right hand high above your head. God sees you. I can see you. Anybody like that this morning? Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise, oh God. We receive, oh God, and we walk in the reality of a armor as believers and as your children and as soldiers for Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' precious name. We have prayed. Somebody say, believe in amen. Come on, put those hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Please take your seat in God's presence.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the podcast. We're glad you're part of our community now and trust you are blessed by today's message. Please Please subscribe to the Shemu Oshibeso podcast. Like and share as well. You can also find Pastor Shemu on Instagram at Shemu Oshibeso or at Gracemade MG.